So I can answer any questions later, but right now we have Todd Foster from St. Thomas, and he's here to help lead us into the semester.
Thanks, John.
So, wow.
Who comes to hear a sermon on your first day of college? That's amazing. So, my name is Todd Foster, and I serve as a priest at St. Thomas Episcopal Church, which is right across from Holly Point. You can't see it for the trees, but you'll see the gravestones around the cemetery, and we're right next door to the landmark. And so, I'm also a member of a group of four different Episcopal churches nearby that have bonded together to provide an ongoing program of spiritual opportunities through the ISEC under the collective label Tech at RU, the Episcopal Church at Rowan University. And so I'll have flyers here next week. I'm sorry I don't this. It's an honor for me to be asked to make this address for the semester opening of the Interfaith and Spiritual Exploration Center at Rowan University. Christians don't always get a reputation for playing nicely with others. And so I'm kind of honored by Don and Roxy and Isha for issuing this invitation to me today. I want to start with a brief disclaimer. I grew up talking about God and about faith. You might not have. When I talk about God and when I talk about faith, I'm referring to those things that tell a story which helps me make sense of my life. Right? Those things from which I infer my own value and adequacy and belovedness. Something apart from grades or prestige or jobs or those kinds of things that life may have to offer. Now, you may talk about God, or you may talk about gods, or you may talk about the universe or reality or purpose or your innermost self. Right? There are all kinds of terms that we could use. And from my point of view, we're generally speaking about the same things. And so I ask for your forgiveness if my use of the word God doesn't convey a helpful image to you, because sometimes it's inadequate for me too. So an hour ago, I was over at St. Thomas leading worship. Rachel was there. And when at St. Thomas we worship together, we usually read from three passages of Scripture and a psalm. So when I preach over there, I have lots of choices of what I'm going to talk about. Now, speaking to and for an interfaith center is a little more ambiguous, right? By our very nature, we who gather here hold diverse opinions about the sacredness or usefulness of different texts. So I want to work from two texts this afternoon, which might be appropriate to the situation. One is explicitly religious, and the other is undoubtedly sacred. The religious text actually points straight to the sacred text. The religious text is from a Sufi poet commonly referred to in English as Rumi, and he writes this: "That which God said to the rose and caused it to laugh in full-blown beauty, he said to my heart and made it 100 times more beautiful." Now, a person named Anton Boysen said this a little more prosaically when he asserted that every human being is a living human document, right? A document upon which the joys and traumas of a life are written. And so the beautiful heart of which Rumi speaks is a sacred text that we each bear inside of us. It is the text that we read in order to understand ourselves and the world and, if you will, God. As it happens, I've been given exactly one copy of that sacred text. It's the text of my own life. And so that's the second text I want to share with you this afternoon. I want to tell you about my journey of spiritual exploration. And I will observe that my journey, like every journey, is all about the particularities. So I grew up in a very religious household. We went to church 3 times every week. We belong to a more or less fundamentalist church tradition called Churches of Christ that started off in the 1800s on the American frontier as a unity movement. It was like one of the first community churches. As the years went on, we became pretty much as sectarian as everyone else, sadly. As an adolescent, I was also attracted by other things, right? By the quiet worship of the Quakers, by peace churches like the Mennonites and the Amish. Right, I enjoyed their thoughtfulness. I enjoy the activity and the boisterousness of my Baptist friends, right? And my family who were Southern Baptist. I had been given firm roots in one particular Christian tradition, but I became aware that God was bigger than that tradition, right? That God could not be contained by any single religious idea. And so by the time I graduated, not in engineering, but in computer science, I had also discerned a desire to pursue God more energetically. And for me, that meant going off to seminary. Now, after seminary, my spouse and I moved to the Bronx to work at planting churches. And while there, I visited and then attended services regularly at an Orthodox synagogue. It was called Kahal Adas Ashurin. I'm still a dues-paying member there, though I haven't attended prayers there in over a decade. But when I stopped by last summer, in the middle of the day one day, I saw that photos of my children, Aviva and Elisha, are still hanging on the wall at that synagogue. It was in the synagogue that I learned about prayer books, and I learned about liturgy. It's in the synagogue that I heard common prayer and chanted scripture. In the synagogue, I saw how a cycle of feasts and fasts and seasons could form a people not just intellectually, but in their hearts. In the synagogue, I discovered a deep respect for history, for one's forebears in the faith, and their continuing power to inform and inspire one's own growth and our search for God. And so by the time we left the Bronx, I had found that I was no longer suited to serve in the tradition of my youth. Right? There were particular issues, not really about theology, but about how we treat and value different classes of people, especially based on gender or sexual orientation. And I couldn't abide what I found in the tradition of my youth anymore. And there was a narrowness in which I did not want to raise my infant children. And so despite being a loyal, rule-following, obedient son, I broke with my faith tradition and was searching for something new. Eventually, I stumbled into the Episcopal Church. And for me, that was right on a number of levels. Even in the furniture of an Anglo-Catholic parish, I saw echoes of its inheritance from the synagogue. In common prayer and the movement of liturgy and the chanting of psalms and specific practices like parading the gospel out to the middle of the people in order to read it, I experienced many of the things that I loved about the synagogue, but in church, it was pretty awesome. In the Episcopal Church, I also found a deep reverence for exactly the things that were at the core of the faith and practice of the church of my youth. Right? These included the centrality of Scripture, an emphasis on sacraments like baptism and the Lord's Supper, and a clear valuing of the priesthood of all believers. Finally, on top of all these things, I found in the Episcopal Church an explicit, full-throated embrace and advocacy for social justice. Right, I witnessed the ordination of sexual minorities to positions of leadership. And I discovered a deep, vital connection to the history of Christian and Jewish practice. And so the Episcopal Church spoke to me, right? It resonated within me. Have you seen one of those Tibetan bells, right, where you can hit it and it makes a noise, but it's a lot more fun to just run the striker around the rim and it sets up resonances inside and the bowl just sings. Right? And that's what I felt like the Episcopal Church did in me. It just connected, and it made my soul sing. And so that was a context profoundly suited to my journey in search of God. So, I'm telling you this story not in order to advocate for the Episcopal Church, right? Not even to advocate for Christianity specifically. And please don't hear me telling the story to denigrate the tradition of my youth. That was a critical part of my own growth and identity. I'm telling you the story in the context of an interfaith gathering to communicate something else entirely. I believe that interfaith does not mean wishy-washy or ambiguous or contentlessness. I believe that interfaith doesn't rule out faith commitments and strongly held beliefs. Interfaith rather invites all the particularities of belief and unbelief to sit at the same table, to interact in mutual respect, and to embrace their diversity and even their mutual contradictions. And so it was in college that I experienced a spiritual awakening that has been the single most profoundly important force shaping my life ever since. And I believe that's a good thing. I believe that's kind of the best thing that ever happened to me. And I think that it's only by the grace of God that in the diversity of religious experiences and communities of worship that I encountered, that I was enabled to discern my own unique path forward, my own calling by a God who loves me. And that unique path forward is what I want to bring out for you today. Because the unique path forward is a feature, not a bug. Right? To put it in Christian parlance, God loves you so much that God is reaching out to meet you in a way that is unique to who you are. Something uniquely suited to you. And so in college, amidst all the changes of life, right? Moving out of one's parents' home and into the dorm, all the social and academic and emotional demands, the blossoming of independence, spiritual exploration, I think, is the most crucial task of all. St. Augustine observed that we are each searching for a peaceful home for our restless hearts, for a story that gives structure and meaning to our lives, for something that can help us make sense of both the joys and the tragedies, the delights and the deep pain, the passionate engagement and the ennui that all together make up a whole human life. God, or the divine, or spirituality, these things cut across every human boundary or construct. No two people will encounter God in the same way. And spiritual exploration is the work of a lifetime. Learning to hear the voice of God speaking to us, that the beauty of our own souls may shine forth in ways that change the world for the better. And so I am deeply privileged to participate in that work with you as a fellow travelers here at the Interfaith and Spiritual Exploration Center at Rowan University. Thank you.